The sermon text this morning
from 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. So you're leaving your house. You're leaving your house. And if you're 16, oh heck, if you're 6th grade, 7th grader, this is coming. But you're leaving your house, and if you've been a mom, you know, a dad, you know. Leaving your house, and your parent looks at you and says, make good choices. Make good choices. The phrase has become so cliche that few even pay attention to it. That doesn't change the fact, though, that a need to make good decisions is very, very important. And the decisions we make, for good or ill, are going to affect us for the rest of our lives. Now, few of us realize just how many decisions we're going to have to make throughout our life. I mean, how many decisions do you make during the course of an ordinary life, and how do those decisions impact you, and how do those decisions have the consequences that bloom in your life? One of the things I have been very confident of as I have gotten older, and maybe the fall has wrecked some of this, I don't know, I have no word of God for that, but we can't feel each other's emotions, right? Like, we honestly don't know what somebody else is feeling, okay? And parents, I think, have this wish that kids could grasp the emotions of the parents' own bad decisions. Now, one of the things I've noticed, parents don't talk about the mistakes they've made in their life with their kids too terribly much. Oftentimes, I think it's because we're afraid that a kid is going to look at us and go, well, you turned out all right. The answer to that question is no. No, it didn't turn out all right. I just hide it really good. Because those decisions that we've made over the course of our life have impacts on us. And we feel them throughout the course of our entire life. And those of you who are mature in years know that there are decisions you made in your teens and 20s that still haunt you to this day, that still come back to you. And we also know, just like most things in life, one bad thing overrides 10 good things. And so one bad decision sticks with you way longer than 10 good decisions will stick with you. So saying, make good choices shouldn't be blown off. It's not a joke. It's a deadly serious thing. And though our days and our times and our seasons are definitely in the Lord's hands, you know, there's all kinds of decisions we have to make. We still have to make the decision to go to the doctor, right? To get that checkup when we need to get that checkup, to get that yearly exam or get that diagnosis. And the choice that one makes at that time can shorten life or extend life. Each of us must, throughout life, make financial decisions. Whether we're qualified to or not, we have to put our trust in somebody else who we believe understands markets and finances. And do we buy this product or that product? You know, that can go good for us. That could go not so good for us. There's also a time when a person must make important decisions in spiritual matters. Now, it's absolutely true that by our own nature and strength, we cannot choose Jesus. We cannot decide for Christ. But we can, by our own strength, decide against Christ. And we can reject Him. Imagine the dire consequences that decision will have in eternity. It makes the difference between unimaginable joy in heaven and an eternity of unspeakable misery in hell. Looking at the magnitude of all of our decisions, we see how necessary it is that we also implore God's guidance so that we can make our decisions in the true fear and love of God. This is shown to us by the decision that Solomon made. Solomon made when God asked him what he wanted. Ask of me, and I will give it to you. Solomon had just offered Gibeon 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And that night in a dream, God came to him saying, ask for what I shall give you. Now think about that. God gave Solomon the choice. How many people have longed for such a like situation to happen to them? But I would say that God has already done that to you, hasn't he? It's been recorded for us in his word in the Bible. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Whatsoever you ask in the Father's name, ask the Father in my name. He will give it to you. So before we envy Solomon too terribly much, let's understand the very great privilege of prayer that God has given to each and every one of us, his children. Oh, I know, Pastor, but wasn't Solomon just a little bit different? If the Lord appeared to me in a dream, it sure would be easier to have faith in him and to have confidence in what he's asking me. If someone was thinking that or mentioned that, I'd probably fall back on the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, the parable that Jesus told. The rich man was in hell, Lazarus was in heaven. The rich man was in torment, Lazarus was in comfort and in joy. And the rich man asked Abraham, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here to dip some water, just a drop of water, and touch my lips, for I am in agony in these flames. And Father Abraham says, well, I can't do that. Even if I wanted to, there's a great chasm between us, and we can't do that. And so the rich man says, well, send someone. Let me go back and tell my brothers to amend their sinful lives so that they may not come to this place of torment. And what was Father Abraham's answer to that? Look, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if somebody returns from the dead and talks to them. Right? So what do we have? We have the most paramount thing we need. We have the Word of God. We have His words that He wants us to know recorded for us. And that should be enough for us. The Lord has spoken. And if we won't trust the clear words of our God and recognize our great privilege, I doubt we would believe even if a vision like Solomon's was granted to us. But it was now up to Solomon for him to make his decision. And being human, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was tempted to ask for certain things that would have been foolish or unworthy. And because you and I have also been born of sinful flesh, the temptation for us to ask or at least desire to ask for foolish and unworthy things is great enough all on its own. We don't need any help to do that. We might be tempted to pray for an unnaturally long life. Or we might be tempted to pray for a quick death to escape any suffering that has befallen us. We too are tempted to crave riches and honor. And even as young people, most of us have wished that we were rich, thinking that most of our problems would go away if we had just enough money to take care of them and then do some of the things we want to do. And as we grow up and get older, that desire for wealth and riches usually kind of doesn't go away. Hey, we've had difficulties with other people. Now, I doubt anybody here has asked the Lord to make somebody else pass away because we don't like them. But I'm sure we've all been tempted to pray that God would fix the person that we don't like, that God would change the person we don't like, that God would make that person more like I want that person to be. I'm not sure that's a wise prayer to pray. So we've had these things. We must recognize the temptation to abuse the privilege that God has given us in prayer. And we need to be on our guard so that we make before God appropriate requests and not inappropriate requests. And though Solomon was surely tempted to ask for unworthy things, he began to consider the great need of the moment that he was in. He thought of the mercy shown to his father David. Solomon considered the people over whom he was to rule. Solomon saw in his subjects a great people. In other words, they were God's chosen people. That's what made them great. God had chosen them to be the people through whom the Messiah would come. Solomon did not forget his God-given office as king over these people. He understood then that he wasn't king for his own sake. He was king for the sake of the people. And realizing this, what did Solomon ask for? He asked for an understanding heart. He asked for wisdom to lead God's people. In effect, Solomon's choice was this: God, you have put me in this place. Now what I ask of you is you make me your man in this place. Help me to live as you would have me live in the place of life where you have set me. Shouldn't that be the prayer of each and every one of us? You have put me in thus and such a place. Now make me equal to the task you have set me in. And let me be your man. Let me be your woman in the place where you have set me. In other words, what did Solomon do? He asked for the gifts to fulfill that place which God had cut out for him in his life. The same goes for each and every one of us. We should also make such wise requests of God. As we prepare to go into the new year, each and every single one of us ought to consider our place in life. Are you a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, a worker, or student? Where has God placed you? We should consider our parents and be diligent not to bring shame on our family or our family's name. If we're parents, we ought to realize we have not been made parents for the sake of ourselves, but we are parents for the sake of our children and their benefit. We should consider what work God has for us to do, remembering that our lives and influence may mean great things under God. It may mean the difference between salvation and damnation for some. That's a heavy responsibility, especially for parents. Lord, make us equal to the task that you have given us in that time and place where you have put us. Considering that, it's of overwhelming importance that as we work as God would have us work. And we should also, like Solomon, consider our own personal shortcomings and our own personal inadequacies for life's calling. Solomon said, I'm young. I don't know what I'm doing. This is a big task. It's almost too big for me, Lord. So give me the strength and give me the wisdom to succeed in this task and the place that you have put me. That's what Solomon was asking for. And that's a good example for us to ask us for. Make me equal to the relationships I am in. Make me equal to the profession I am in. Make me so that I work in a godly fashion at the tasks you have set me to work for. Let us decide, as Solomon did, and in our request, place ourselves at God's disposal. Let us ask of God an understanding heart. Let us pray like Jesus' disciples prayed. Lord, increase our faith. Or remember the prayer of the Father. I believe, help my unbelief. We do this asking that we glory in the cross of Christ, on which He won for us full salvation at such a great and mighty cost, tremendous price. In faith, we ask that God would equip us for that work which He would have us do, so that we may serve Him to the absolute best of our abilities in the tasks that are set before us. We read that when the Lord heard Solomon's prayer, it pleased Him. Solomon was given an understanding heart and great wisdom. And Solomon was also granted many things for which he did not ask. And even though Solomon had a weakness for women, as was well recorded, and he did stray from the path that he should have stayed on, it doesn't change the fact that if a person seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will add many other blessings to him. So I thought about it. That's one of the main reasons this congregation established a school, right? Because what is the beginning of wisdom? It is the fear of the Lord. And what do we teach at our school? We teach the fear of the Lord. considering that covenant God would make with all people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. May God then grant you in the new year you're entering into an abundant measure of His Holy Spirit, so that for the many choices and the many decisions you will make in this coming year, you may always make God-pleasing decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.